Well, good morning, everybody. All is well. My name's Sheena. I'm one of the pastors here at Every Nation in New Jersey. And as you heard, Pastor Dottie alluded this morning that, we did something amazing, which is breaking a barrier for us as a church. And we are a praying church. We do really believe in the power of prayer. Some people kind of go through the motions, just kind of expect, not expect God to do anything. But when we pray, we are looking for God to show up and do only what he can do. And so last week, many of people came out. It was Easter service, and people were excited. I mean, people dressed in their best. It was good. It was fun. We decided the stuff's still up. You see, we didn't take it down. We're still in a celebratory mode, and there's nothing wrong with that because Jesus is alive. Yes. Jesus has risen, yes. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father in power. And so we don't serve a God that's dead. We serve a God that is alive, that when we pray, he hears us, and he always hears us. And so this morning, we're starting a new series called Go Beyond. Go Beyond. And what we're trying to get accomplished in this series is that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it didn't stop there. That Jesus, when he was resurrected, that he went and he showed himself to people. And he began to commission people to do something. What I love about our God is an intimate God, a God that wants to be involved with his creation. And instead of him doing it himself, he chose to do it through us. And so when he rose from the dead because of his sinless life, hear me when I say this, because of his sinless life, death, hell, and the grave could not conquer. He couldn't be stopped. He had to get out of the grave. And so that's the importance. And that's what everything is hinging on, the Christian faith that he did rise from the dead. And so this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about going beyond. And when I say go beyond, I'm going to talk about three things: going beyond fear, going beyond self, and sometimes even having to go beyond people. Go beyond people. And so I have a story just a little bit about all three of these things, because when I played at a sport called football, I did play football for just a brief moment in college and in a little bit in the pros. We had this test in college called the 20-minute run. Even when I think about it, my hands start sweating. I get a little bit nervous because you had to run 3 miles in 20 minutes. Now, I'm going to say that again so it'll sink in: 3 miles in 20 minutes. And so this was one of our tests. In order to go into camp, you had to pass one of these tests. Now, I was a sprinter. That means I just like to run real fast in a straight line. That's what I did. Anything over 400 meters was like a death sentence for me. And so I would wake up in cold sweats when I knew I had to run, because we practiced all the way up leading to the test. And my roommates would look at me like, man, what's wrong with you, man? Fear would grip me. I mean, these guys, we ran it in the summer, so guys would be going out, having a great time on a Friday night, and I'd freak out. They would go out on a Friday and walk right on the track from wherever they were, walk right onto the track and run 20 miles, or 20 minutes, and run for three miles. And I had big linemen, 300-pound linemen, beating me. I mean, my hands would get sweaty, my back would lock up, and I couldn't understand what was going on. And then finally, our coach said this, our strength coach said this. He said, look here, if you don't pass this test, if you don't go beyond your fear, your circumstances and situations, I'm going to make the whole team run this again and again. And so now it's on me. So now I'm like, this is not happening. And so the day that I was supposed to run, my friends got up. I had two college roommates. They got up with me. Now, they went and did what they did. They got up with me. And they said, look here, you're going to pass this test because we're tired of running. And so we get to the track. And I had one guy in front of me. He said, you look at the back of my head. I'm going to run. You stay in the back. And the guy behind me, and I'm in between both of these men. The guy behind me said, if you stop, I'm going to beat the dog out of you. And so we took off, man. And all I kept thinking was, do I want to get beat up or do I just want to pass this test? What do I want to do? Now, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story at the end. And so we're going to dive into this Bible, but bring it up because I'll forget. I'll get to preaching and I'll forget about the story because there's a moral to this story. fear, couldn't get beyond myself and beyond people. When Jesus was raised from the dead, it says this in the New Testament, after the Romans crucified Jesus, he was anointed and buried in a new tomb by Joseph of Arimathea. But God raised him from the dead and appeared to many people over a span of 40 days before he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God. Jesus went beyond the grave, say beyond, to give us the power to overcome and go beyond any spiritual or physical impossibilities in our lives. And so I want you to turn to your Bibles this morning in John 20, and we're going to look in verses 19 through 22. And this is the disciples. I need you to understand that when Jesus was raised from the dead, when Jesus was resurrected, he showed himself first to the women at the tomb. There was others that he saw on the road of Arimathea. He showed himself to these two men walking there. Then it says that he came somewhere. He went into a place where he saw his disciples. And it says here in verse 19 of John 20, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, say together, with the doors locked for fear of Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Verse 20, after he said this, he showed them his hands, his sides, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." My first point is going beyond fear. See, these men witnessed something that they weren't accustomed to. Their leader being beat, being put on a cross, and buried in a grave. And these men were so fearful that they went and hid in a room together. Why were they fearful? Because they felt, because they were followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, what took place with Jesus, they felt would take place to them. They felt that they too would be scourged. They too would be beaten. They too would be put on a cross. So these men went and hid. They were fearful. See, fear paralyzes a man or a woman. Fear is real. So when a circumstance or situation comes in your life, as a man or woman of God, what should we do? The Bible says that they were together. They were together. When fear comes and fear is real, don't battle this fear alone. Because fear sometimes will drive you to doing some things that you know you shouldn't do. These men were together. I'm pretty sure they were looking at each other, man, what should we do? How should we handle ourselves? But the Bible also says where two or more are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. And so when you gather together in Jesus' name, see, no door was going to keep Jesus from getting to his disciples. No door can keep Jesus from getting to you or I in our fear. It don't matter what kind of locks we have on our life. We can try to lock Jesus out, but when we get with brothers and sisters in Christ, here he is in the midst. He's coming. And these men, when they saw him, they were a little scared, but his words were, "Peace be with you." And this is not the world's peace. There's a difference between God's peace and the world's peace, because God's peace is shalom. It's not missing. It's not broken. This peace is something supernatural. It's a peace that causes you and I to experience life and life more abundantly. See, he said, "Peace be with you." This was a greeting in the Jewish culture, but this peace was just a normal greeting. But Jesus says, no, this is a different type of peace. This is the peace that I'm giving you today, that no matter what you're facing in life, it's going to be a calm down inside of you. See, fear hath torment. The Bible says this in, if I can find it in my own scripture verse, I'm sorry, in 1 John 4:18, it says, "Perfect love casts out fear." Perfect love. Is there something about the love of Jesus for you and I that lets us know that no matter what we're facing, he loves you. The enemy's scheme is to get you and I to believe that he doesn't care. That he's going to leave you in that fear. He's going to leave you in that dark place. That he doesn't care about your sickness. He doesn't care about your infirmities. He doesn't care about your bank account. He doesn't care about your relationship. He doesn't care that you got left or somebody forgot about you. No, he cares. And what we have to do as men and women of God is we always have to be able to point back to the cross. See, the cross is where true love begins. Jesus said, there's no greater love for me than to lay down my life for my friends. Jesus calls us friends. And I'm going to get to that point in a minute. Fear. Perfect love casts out fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. See, that's not God when fear comes upon you. That's the enemy trying to get you away from God. To isolate you, to get you to think things that are not right. That's why it says God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. Power to overcome that fear. And we're going to talk about this power in a minute. Power to do things that you may be limited in your natural self, but in a supernatural state, you can accomplish whatever God's calling you to accomplish. Supernatural state. What does this look like? Jesus on a cross. And he looks out over the people and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. That's a supernatural power. How many of you know that if I was on a cross and I had all a power, all authority was given to me, and people were mocking, spitting, cursing, did all kinds of, I'm flexing. Oh, yes, I'm going to flex. I'm getting off this cross and I'm going to do some damage to some people. Rome, you don't have power. I got the power. But you know what? There's something about this type of power that Jesus wants to give you and I called self-control. There's a type of power that no matter what a man or a woman says or does to you, you have the ability to restrain self. Holy Ghost power. Real power, not no fake power, not none of this stuff that, you know, you people walk around and they talk tough on Twitter, but when they get face to face with you, they're scared. No, we're talking about real self-control. Fear. Peace. He's in there with them now. And it says this, that he showed them his hands. Why did he show them his hands? Why did he show them his side? Why did he do these things? It's because he wanted them to know that it is I. It is I. And remember, I told you what was going to happen, that I was going to get up on the third day. And then it goes on and it says that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Why was this significant? Because this spirit that he's breathing on them was the same spirit that he breathed the breath of life into Adam when he brought Adam from dust and made him a man. This is what some theologians say and believe, that this was a time that these men got what we call being born again. See, when the Spirit of God is dwelling inside of you and I, something supernatural takes place. See, we can't do this thing on our own. We need to be commissioned by the power of God dwelling inside of you and I. What does this look like? You know, when I was in the world or living away outside of God, I did some things that were not good, and it became habitual. It became a lifestyle. And the only way for this lifestyle to be broken was to be broken by the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Yeah. See, you and I can't do what we're called to be and do on our own strength. It's not going to happen. No, you need a supernatural grace, a supernatural might. And Jesus was commissioning these men to live a life that was holy and blameless, just like him. But he was also sending them into the world to do something that was different. See, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I was removed for a season from the NFL, just for a season. I went over to Europe, and that was my time alone. That was my time in the room by myself with some of my brothers. But what God was doing was he was preparing something inside of me so that when I went back, and see, this is what a lot of you got to understand is God is going to call you back. Back to your families, back to some of your friends in the college world, back to people in your job and in your society. He's going to call you back. He's going to call you back. And you know, the first thing that's going to grip you is fear. Oh, man, they're going to remember what I used to be, what I used to do. But you know, sometimes I got to talk back to the devil. I'm not a used to be. I'm a getting ready to be. I'm not only going to continue to be the person that I used to be. I get text messages and all these emails from friends from the past and, man, what happened to you? And I tell them, you know, it's the Christ in me. It's not me. It's Christ in me. And you have to get over your fears. You got to get over your doubts. You got to get over your unbelief. And I'm going to go to my next point. Get over self. See, there was a man that was missing in the room, and his name was Thomas. And what happened during this time, Thomas wasn't around. And what can happen is when God shows up in a place and you're not there, it may take a while for him to come back around to meet you again. Thomas, it says, these theologians have said that it took maybe a week before he came back around to visit these men again, and Thomas was in the room. But what did Thomas say when his friends began to tell him about Jesus and that Jesus had rose? He said, man, I'm not believing that. I'm not believing that. How many people you have ever had tell you that they don't believe what you are doing? Yeah. Don't believe in what you believe in, making fun of you, mocking you, going through all those. Man, that's fine. Because when he does show up in your life, and he's coming because I'm praying for you. When he shows up, just like he showed up for Thomas, this is what begins to happen. He's going to show you his nail-pierced hands. He's going to show you the sword to the side. He's going to show you the crown of thorns. He's going to show you the lashes. He's going to show you all these things. And this is what I love about Jesus, is that when he encountered Thomas's doubt and Thomas's unbelief, he met him where he was. See, Jesus is never going to call you here. He's going to come to where you are. He's going to come right where you are, and he's going to always send somebody. He'll send somebody to your job. He'll send somebody to your house. He'll send somebody to you when you least expect it. Why? Because he loves you. I had a roommate in college. All he did was just constantly tell me, you need to come to Bible. I mean, I'm not going to no Bible study on Wednesday night. Wednesday night is happening, man. You kidding me? You telling me to go to a Bible study? He would come like clockwork. Every Wednesday night, you want to come to the Bible study, bro? No. He would just keep calling. By the time I was a senior, I was so wore down. I'm just, yeah, man, I'll just go sit in this Bible study, man. You know, as soon as I get out, you know what's happening, but I'll come sit in. And you know what? I sat in that Bible study, and you know, it was just watching people. And all my doubt and all my unbelief and all my fears. See, a lot of times it's not what we don't know, it's what we do know about God that we're scared of, because he's going to speak the truth. And see, the truth is going to set you and I free. And so I'm sitting there in this room with my friends, and all of a sudden I'm like, you know what, this gospel thing is real. So unearthing all this doubt and all this unbelief, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:38, it says, but my righteous will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. See, when you're following God and God is coming to meet you and he's calling you beyond yourself, you can't shrink back. You can't shrink back. You have to be what God has called you to be. Thomas now, he sees what's going on and he says, you know what? Now I believe. And there's something supernatural about you believing, because God will do whatever it takes to get you and I to believe. You can pray any prayer you want. Lord, if you're real, show me this. He can bring a cow to you, chocolate milk cow, and you say, oh, I still don't believe. The cow is making chocolate milk. There's no quick there. You still don't believe? He will do whatever he's got to do, because he loves us. And he's calling you and I beyond ourselves. Thomas, once he got this revelation, these men were like, okay, game on. Game on. Let us see what you need me to do. See, once God gets inside of us, The Bible says this in 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me. Now you got to get this. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So whatever the world is throwing at you, because Jesus overcame the grave and he has the power and the might and the authority to overcome whatever, that means you and I, when we pray to him, when we call upon him, when we pray and ask God for help, he'll give you the ability to overcome it because he overcame it. Greater works. Doubt, unbelief, fear, all these things trying to keep you and I from going beyond. See, God wants you and I to go beyond. He doesn't want us to stay the same. That's why when we take communion, communion is not just going through a religious tradition. No, communion is calling you and I to remember. Remember the nail-pierced hands. Remember the nail-pierced side. Remember all these things so that you can continue to go forward in Christ. He overcame. We're talking about going beyond self. So these men, now that they got this thing going on, they kind of rounded up. Now all of a sudden, Jesus continues to show himself to people. He says that he showed himself to 400 people. So there was no excuses. Why did he show himself to a little group of men and women? Because he wanted the select few. He wanted the ones that were going to go out there and make sure that they know that they know that they know that he rose. Now I'm going to give you the power and I'll go do what you need to do. Now we're talking about going beyond people. Because in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is with them again. And now it's time to get to the nitty gritty. Because Jesus is going to tell them, Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4, it says, on one occasion while he was eating with them. That's what I love about Jesus. Jesus liked to eat. I would have been a great disciple. When are we going to eat, Jesus? What are we eating today? He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised you, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Then he gave them this, and they asked him, Lord, is this time, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates of the Father has set by his own authority, verse 8, but you will receive power, say power.
Power.
When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria and to the other ends of the earth. Jesus said, I'm going to give you some power. Now you've been commissioned, but now it's time for you to go be a witness. It's okay to have Jesus in you, but now it's time to have the outward power to go do the work that he's calling you and I to do. But just like the disciples, just like you and I, we allow people to get in the way of what we want to do. Because the disciples began to argue, is this the time? Is this the time? See, what happens is sometimes you and I can get into conflict with people and they want to talk about Revelation. I don't have time to talk about the book of Revelation. Let's talk about what's going on in your life right here. Well, you know, I saw the moon and it looked like it had turned like blood. Well, I'm not worried about a blood moon right now. I'm focused on how are you going to pay your rent. And how are you going to live the life that God has called you to live? See, I want to keep the main thing the main thing. Jesus said to go, therefore, and make disciples. Go beyond self. People can hold you back and keep you from being what God has called you to be. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that bad company corrupts good morals. You can be a good man or you can be a good woman, and some people get around you and lead you astray. But just like Jesus, Jesus had to rebuke these men and say, you know what? You need to stop worrying about when it's time for me to take over. You need to focus on getting some power on your life so that you can go be the witness and be the man of God that I created you to be. Get power on your life. Be a witness. Go beyond yourself. And these men received what he said, but it didn't stop. You got to understand that Jesus wasn't content with just where they were in Jerusalem. And what happens for church people, we can get caught in just us, my friends. No. He said Jerusalem, Judea. Samaria. Oh, you talking about those Samaritans, those people that don't look like us, don't talk like us. Jesus is calling you and I to reach everyone. Every tribe, every tongue, every creation. And see, what I used to love, so I go back a little bit. Before I was here, I was somewhere else in Nashville. In Nashville, you know, it's the South. I'm just going to say it's the South. And down South, they sometimes look at you funny because of some things you may do. And so I was, at the time, I was with somebody that didn't look like me. I don't want to offend nobody, but they didn't look like me. Okay, and they saw that. They didn't have the same skin color, okay? And they assumed some things. And when they saw this, they didn't want to associate with me anymore because of that. So what I'm here to tell you is that the only thing that's going to bring us together, that's going to reconcile man and woman or ethnicities, is the blood of Jesus. Yes. It's the cross. And sometimes you have to be able to go beyond self, but the only way you're going to do this is Christ in you. People say, Pastor, you know, I understand that you at one time were activists. You were out there doing things in the community. And yes, I was. But I always told people this. I said that I'm a Christian first and a black man second. I'm a Christian first and a black man second. And what does that mean? It means that Jesus is Lord. And I understand that he died for all creation. And that matters to him. And whatever matters to him matters to me. And so this gives me the ability to go to Wall Street and minister to people on the corporate level. Or I can go down and kick it down in the hood and kick it with my brothers down there. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because I know who I am in Christ. You know, you wonder sometimes, what does it take for you and I to go beyond self? What does it take for you and I to go beyond self? You know, I didn't forget the story, so I'm going to go back to it. I forgot to tell you that I ran that test multiple times and failed it. Then my friends came in to help me. In the morning that we got up to go run the test, we woke up late. So when we got to the track, we were already in trouble. Do you know that I passed the test? But because I was late, the coach said, I'm sorry, don't count. And so now, because I understood something, now, because I did go around that track and I did defeat the fear, I did defeat the self, and I understood now that I could go beyond people. I went back the following week and did it on my own. I went back the week after just to make sure, am I okay? Yeah, I did it again. And so what happens is this, is when you all of a sudden understand who you are in Christ, and that fear can't hold you, self can't hold you, people can't hold you, you'll find yourself going further and further by yourself. And sometimes people will be so inspired about what you do, they say, I got to follow that man. I got to follow that woman. Where are they going? It looks good to me. I saw when they were fearful. I saw when they were in doubt. I saw when they were hurt. I saw when they were going through that pain, but they kept staying the course. And when you stay the course, Jesus stays the course with you. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's time for us as a church and as individuals to go beyond. Go beyond. Don't allow yourself to stay stagnant. The worst thing you can be as a man or woman of God is a comfortable Christian. God is calling you to something greater than yourself. Step out and be the man or woman of God that he's called you to be. Stop letting the enemy tell you what you can and can't do. Yes. Circumstances that will break you absolutely will make you in Christ a better man or woman. And I hear this Holy Ghost saying this morning. Some of you in here have been so tormented from your past that the enemy is limiting you from your future. You got a great future. You got a great future in Christ. And what you've done in the past is the past, because according to my Bible, according to my word, it says old things are passed away. All things become new in Christ. But I can't believe that for you. You got to believe that for yourself. See, if I allow circumstances and situations to keep me where I used to be, I wouldn't be standing where I am today. And I'm here to tell you this morning, He is the God of all encouragement. Amen. And He's here to encourage you today. Don't limit yourself. Amen. Don't let fear torment. Don't have self-doubt. Amen. Please stay focused on Christ and Christ alone. And please, if you got people around you, I'm telling you here, you might need to cut them off. Because there's nothing like dead weight. Dead weight will keep you from going where you, I'm not saying that you hate them or you don't love them, but if somebody's keeping you from being what you're called to be, they got to go. They got to go. And I'm not afraid to tell people at times, because of what God is calling me to be and do, you got to go. I love you. I'm going to continue to pray for you. And I will be your pastor. I will be your friend. But I'm telling you today, because of what God has called me to be and the things that are on the line in my house, things that are on the line in my community, things that are on the line in my nation, I have to keep moving forward. I have to. And I'm going to close with this. There's three types of people. There's fans. And fans are those people in the stands that paint their face up and they cheer and they just tell you all the good things that you are. Oh, you're the greatest since sliced cheese. You're the greatest. You could be hurt, broke, going through some. Oh, you're the greatest. Keep going, brother. I love you so much. And then you got foes, people that are haters, people that don't want to see you make it, people that want to hold you down, people that want to keep you back, people that constantly tell you what you can and can't do and what you can and can't be. But I'm here to tell you today, you can't go into your destiny without walking through the hall of haters. You're going to have to keep moving forward. You're going to have to keep moving forward. Destiny hurts. And there's a lot of people along the way that will tell you that you can't, but I'm here to tell you today that you can. And then you got friends. And I was with a pastor, and he said this. He says, let me tell you what a friend is. A friend is a person that you can dump your life. You can tell them the good, bad, and ugly, the nasty, dark stuff of your life. And you know what they do? They just sit there. As long as you're not an axe murderer or you ain't doing something crazy, they ain't going to say nothing. What they're going to do is they're going to do like Noah's kids did. They're going to back up and cover you. And see, when Jesus was in the garden and they saw him at his weak point, they didn't sit there and mock him and laugh at him and say, I can't believe you're the Son of God. You're supposed to have all this power. No. They said, man, after seeing all this, we know. And so I'm here to tell you this morning, go beyond self. Can we stand on our feet? And I'm going to pray a prayer. After the resurrection, it didn't stop. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He commissioned them to go do greater works. The Bible says in John 14:12, Jesus told the disciples this, the works that I do, you're going to do greater. Yep, amen. God is always calling you and I to do greater things. Amen. And as you read in the book of Acts, Peter did do something great. He's the only man that I know of that when he gave that call of faith, 3,000 people were added to the church. Jesus didn't do that. Greater works. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for your presence today. You're here. And God, I pray as hands are going up in this room, not for salvation, but for surrender of saying, Lord, I want to go beyond self today. No more doubt, no more unbelief, no more saying I can't, but all I want to do is say that I can. No more limitations. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. If you're saying, Pastor, that's me, I've kind of gotten away from the things of God. I've gotten comfortable. I don't read the way I used to read. I don't pray the way I used to pray. I don't fellowship the way I used to fellowship. And no, I'm saying today I want to go to another level in you. I want you to raise your hand where you are. God, I pray this morning in the name of Jesus that there will be a breaking of fear, a breaking of doubt and unbelief, a breaking right now in Jesus' name of every word curse that's been spoken over every man and every woman in this word. God, I pray right now, word curses be broken. People have spoken death over you. You're the worst thing. You're this. You're going to be just like that. I rebuke it now in the name and in the authority of Jesus Christ. Those soul wounds, I'm praying today, be healed in the name of Jesus. Those hurts that Jesus, you only know about, that hurt that has caused people to stay up late at night, weeping and crying. Deliverance come today. Deliverance come today. Those that have gone through divorces and the enemies lied to you and said it was your fault, you didn't do what you were supposed to do as a man or a woman, I call the devil a liar today. Jesus set him free. Past is the past. And it's time for you to move forward in Christ. Lord, be the lifter of every man and every woman's head today. I thank you, God, that they're coming out of the valley. They're coming out of the valley right now. I see God just reaching down gently and kindly, just grabbing you out of the valley. And you're going back to the mountaintop. You're coming back on that mountaintop once again. He hadn't forgotten you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you've been. He knows exactly what you've gone through. Lord, lift them up today. Father, bless your people in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Lord. For those that are continuing in our growth track, please, we're going to be meeting right after. We also have some of our connect groups that are going to be meeting as well. We have people down front that will be praying for you. So our people that are prayer counselors, please come down front. And we're going to be here. We're going to pray. But you're dismissed. Have a great Sunday and go beyond self. Amen.